On the last Sunday of the church calendar year, the subject of the lessons turns to God's coming in judgment at the end of time. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah. It is the 51st chapter, and we read verses 4 through 6. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me. For my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like a smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. They who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Jude. There are no chapters in Jude, just verses. And we read verses 20 through 25. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. The only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 24. Jesus said, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven. And the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. Do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on both your epistle and the gospel lesson for today. But I'd like to begin by reminding you of these words from the gospel lesson. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is our text. When you comb the scriptures for different subject matters, one of the things that you will discover is that when it comes to the topic of today, the coming of God in judgment upon the world, particularly in the New Testament, doesn't talk about it that much. In fact, if you read through Mark chapter 13, where the subject does come up, one of the interesting things you will note is that it wasn't Jesus himself bringing it up. It was the disciples. Going back to the beginning of Mark chapter 13, the occasion was they were in the temple and the disciples were marveling at the beauty of the temple. And it was an awesome piece of construction. I mean, just one of the rocks that were in part of its walls was like 100 tons. Solid rock, like 13 feet long, 8 feet wide, about 6 feet high. Can you imagine moving something like that? It was an awesome piece of construction. And people did marvel at it. And so did the disciples. And as they were coming out, they said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to them, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And it continues, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately." Note this conversation about the end of time was not spoken to all of his disciples. It was just to 4 of the 12 in a private setting. And they asked, "Tell us, when will all these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And then Jesus begins to teach about the end of time. And his teaching is fascinating from one particular point of view. And that's that he didn't want you worrying about it. And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet." For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. Yes, Jesus did talk about his second coming, the end of the world, the final judgment. But note his tone as he's speaking about that. It wasn't for Jesus a major part of his teaching. Again, he was just sharing this with a few of the disciples privately. He does talk about the end of the world, but he talks about it for two main reasons. The first is to bring us as Christians comfort. Knowing that while the world, especially as the end approaches, is going to get worse and worse, especially for us as Christians, we don't need to be alarmed. We don't need to be afraid. For God is not only in control of all things. Remember Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven, said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." God is in charge. And the eternal life that he died and rose again to give to us is absolutely secure. No matter what we see going on around us, he doesn't want us to be alarmed. He doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to be confident and comforted in his love for us. But sometimes when we see the craziness of our world, it's hard to remember that. And at times it does seem that the world is getting crazier and crazier. And that's becoming harder and harder for us to be Christians and to make a faithful testimony about our faith in Jesus without being mocked, persecuted. But going back to the opening words I read, note this about the time. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Oh, it may seem like the world is really getting horrible, but you know what? It's really always been that way. Don't think that we live in such strange times that our situation is unique. Go back to the days of the early church. And behold what happened to Jerusalem. You know, the leadership of the early church, much of it was still in Jerusalem at 70 AD when the Romans came and destroyed not just the temple, but the entire city. 100,000 people, they marched out of there to Rome, parading them through the streets, enslaving them. And while it may have been predominantly Jews who were captured, amongst them there had to be a lot of Jewish Christians. Imagine what it was like to be alive at that time. Or consider the persecutions of the Roman emperors later. Nero despised Christians so much, he used to literally throw them to the lions. If you think that was bad, according to historical records, he used to light his gardens at night burning Christians. I don't think any of us have experienced that kind of persecution yet. Yeah, the world might be changing around us. But as God has preserved his church, and individual Christians in their eternal glory down through the ages, Jesus wanted to know us to know, as he talked about the end of times, we don't need to be alarmed. We don't need to be afraid. Yes, there may be persecutions. Yes, at times it will seem like the whole world is against us. Fear not. God has you and your life safely hidden away with him. So that's one reason why God did talk about the end times. But there's another reason, and it was somewhat clear in our epistle lesson for today, which I'd like to reread a portion of again. They say, and I'm going to back up two verses before the epistle reading. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. That kind of seems like our times. But what kind of people are we to be in an ungodly world? Listen then to the verses that were part of our epistle lesson. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And it then continues about our relationship to those ungodly people who would attack us, who mock us, sometimes just wish we weren't around. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Yes, hating what other people, the ungodly, are doing, and yet being merciful to them. Why should we be merciful to people who despise us and hate us? Well, it's for the same reason that God so loved us and was merciful to us. We were all born into this world as sinners. And even though we might be in church on Sundays, during the course of every single day, every single week, there's times that that precious word that God has given to us in scriptures, we don't obey. Read in Romans how God regarded us as his enemies. But even regarding us as his enemies, he sent his son into this world. Die for us. Rise again. that even as his enemies, we might know how much he loves us and wants to save us. And that's what changed our hearts. Not love for those who are lovable, but love for the loveless. That's the thing that brought us to God. And if you want to know why God lets this crazy world keep on going, the scriptures do make that answer very clear. It's because he wants more people to know about his love. But how do you get people to even listen to the word? Even have that opportunity to share a life-changing word of God with someone? It's by being different. Not repaying evil for evil, but repaying evil with mercy. Doing the same thing to the people that might despise us, hate the things that we believe, mock us. Do the very thing for those people that God himself did for you and me. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Having mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, even though you hate what they're doing. Be merciful. It is in the act of really loving our enemies that we get that opportunity to share that life-changing word of God. Because loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you, showing mercy when the people to whom you're showing mercy would have no mercy on you. That's what opens the door. Because to the world, that kind of behavior seems really weird. It's not what most people do. When you show mercy and kindness to someone who would never show it to you, and who's made that very clear, you want to know what happens? They go, "Why are you doing this?" They are asking you to explain the hope and the love that is within you. That's when you get to share that life-changing word of God. Yes, Christ is going to come again. But that's not the message that he gave to us to share with the world. I like the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians, where he writes to the Corinthians, who, by the way, were being very troublesome to him. "I've determined to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's the love of God for people who didn't deserve it. The willingness of God to sacrifice himself for his enemies. That changed our hearts. If we want to open the doors so that we can share that love with others, we need to be like Christ in this world. We need to always cling to his word. We don't need to be alarmed at everything that's going on. We don't have to live our lives in fear. We live in confidence, clinging to the hope that God has given us. And we live in mercy toward others, even those who despise us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.